Welcome back to the Zume Multiplying Disciples podcast, where we're on a journey to saturate the world with multiplying disciples in our generation. Well, great to be with our special guest today. For security reasons, we're not going to mention your name directly, but are excited for just the way God has been using you and the Zume tool to make disciples and multiply churches. And so would you just tell us a little bit what you are excited about that you're seeing God do through Zume?
Yeah, to me, it's been incredible to see the way that the Lord has brought specific people and all parts of the world, and really the connection that he's brought. Some of these people, I'm not even sure how they get connected to Zume, but it's just the Lord bringing them. And then seeing their hunger and already wanting to be used to make disciples has just been so fun.
How did you connect to Zume?
So my experience with Zume has actually been about 6 years ago. I had a mentor as well as a boss. I worked at a local church, and he actually began to introduce Zume to the local congregation. He was the discipleship pastor there. And so that was my first experience, and it was right out of Bible college. So that was kind of fun because I took a lot of what I learned and not threw it out the window, but got to have a different hands-on approach that really just made making disciples fun, exhilarating, really practical.
What are some of the things that you have just seen happen over the last 6-7 years?
So going back to when we first, my wife and I, as we began implementing some of Zume, we started with a young married group, and there was about 16 of us. It was way too big, and we had just gotten married, and so we probably shouldn't have been leading that group, but we were starting to implement 3/3 specifically and train with some of the other tools along the way. And we had people coming from all different backgrounds, people who had just left the Catholic Church and had just come into Protestantism. And then we also had people who weren't believers, but they were interested. They maybe had a spouse who was a believer, and they agreed to come along. And so we were just working with people who basically didn't have a lot of knowledge of the Bible, didn't have a lot of understanding on how to make disciples, let alone what God had in store for them. And so as we just started being faithful with the 3/3 and every week, not really teaching, you know, but just allowing the Spirit to speak through scripture, it just started to change people. And eventually there was one guy who just got it. And it had taken about 11 months. But as soon as he got it, he started turning around and starting a group. And then I think every other person in the group was like, oh, wow, if he can do it, then I can do it. And that just kind of turned up the heat, turned up the fire. And we started seeing every couple start another group. And then a few of those couples, really, we saw third and fourth generation groups come out of that experience. And what was so fun was that it was so simple, right? I mean, we were just taking some of these tools that are really practical, and just the way that God had brought people into their life, whatever oikos, whatever group of friends or hobby that they had, they just started introducing that to them. And really, it was just faith being, in action. And I think from there, we decided, okay, we really want to take this overseas. And so that's what led us to go with an organization called Team Expansion. And we went overseas and we started implementing Zume, but we were only there for a little bit. When we moved there, that was in 2019. And then pretty soon after, of course, we had COVID, and then that sent us back. And so when we returned, we didn't know what God was up to or what he was going to do with us from there, but we wanted to just keep implementing Zume and putting it into practice. And so we started working locally with a church that was supporting us at the time. And also just people, we were starting to connect with other people who were DMM minded, just hungry to see disciples making disciples. And so pretty much right off the bat, within 6 months, we started meeting with a couple ladies who were just so faithful. And again, they just started taking whatever they were learning from Zume and putting it into action. And we just saw God start a couple generations down the, I think those were third generation groups over those 6 months. And then there's another group of ladies who, what was so cool, they were all from different parts of the world. There was one who was Iranian, one who was from Ethiopia, one from South Sudan. And there was a lady that I trained, and she turned around and just started gathering this group and kind of cast out this vision for the city of, hey, let's start reaching all these people groups here. And so she started sharing Zume with them and training them. And then it just kind of exploded. And one of those ladies, the lady from South Sudan, she went back to South Sudan to see family, to see friends. And she had that heart of, hey, I want to make this known there. And so we didn't hear from her for about a year. But then after a year, we're in communication. And she said she had started 25 groups there and had seen dozens of people come to the Lord, and people were hungry. And it's just been really cool to see what God's doing in South Sudan right now. I can keep going, or would you like me to stop?
This is great. Yeah, no, we definitely want to keep going. As I'm hearing you talk, it is, it's just incredible. Some of the things you're mentioning, from the fact that it only took just one person in that group that you had started. And when that one person started putting it into action, it really lit everyone else on fire. Yeah. So the power of just one, like us being that one person,
yep.
You know, us finding and pouring into that one person, just how that helps catalyze. And then secondly, the way that you were doing it right at home, stateside, and then went overseas to take it there. Like, you didn't wait till you got overseas to do it.
Yeah.
When you were from the States, you started at home. So whether that is wherever anyone's home is, you know, any country that is someone's home, starting at home and then being able to cross borders and do the same thing in other places. And then thirdly, just how the group that you brought together, these ladies that you're pouring into, the same thing, like they were doing it right where they were living, even if where they were living is not where they're from. And then they were able to take it back to where they're from. So it's like both directions. You had, like, you were living where you're from, you take it to somewhere else, and then someone who's living somewhere else and takes it back to where they're from. And so that was a really exciting, just like three quick examples that you gave there. And so, yeah, let's keep going. Just more of the stories, more of the experiences.
Yeah. And that's what I was just mentioning in the intro, is that Jesus is bringing this all about, right? Like, I think seeing these relationships and seeing just the connections that he's already given you. I mean, most of those people I already knew to some extent, you know, or had gotten to know, but it wasn't a brand new friendship right away. Some were, but I do think most of the time God's already got the people in your life that he wants you to interact with, to engage, to share, to potentially train. And so, yeah, recently what was cool is we saw this work going on through this lady in South Sudan, but I had a gentleman from South Sudan somehow get connected into a Zume online group. And when we were first training, he didn't have really any internet connection. And so we couldn't really train that well. He did have WhatsApp, and so we were able to pass some things along. And we had gotten to starting to share the gospel and just kind of giving him that vision of, hey, what would it look like to start gathering your neighbors around or people around and start sharing that with them? And he's just so faithful. And it's just so cool to see how the Holy Spirit has brought, I think, a new flame in him. But he did. He started going around and to groups, and he would send me pictures of, you know, 10 or 12 people underneath a tree. And he's like, hey, I gathered these people here today to share the gospel with them. He would go out to refugee camps, people from, I think, Uganda who were brought into South Sudan. And he's like, hey, I tried sharing with them. None of them can speak my language. So, you know, I'll have to try to find someone who can translate. But through him and some of the stuff that he's done, we got to see another 25 people come to the Lord. And then I was just talking with him yesterday, and he's got 12 more people who want to be baptized. And so it's just, you know, he was someone who I haven't even gotten through all the training because of the language barrier and some of the like, he just doesn't have the material in his language. And so I'm working with people here locally from South Sudan who can try to translate it into his local language and get him some of that material. But it's just been amazing to see God bring people up. And even when none of the training is going perfectly, it's just the Spirit making those connections. And so that's been incredible. And then like right now we're working with a couple different people, one guy in Indonesia, and he's been, again, so faithful, and he's even started to train other organizations, which was just kind of fun. There's a couple who are with OMF, and same thing. They're like, we have enjoyed Zume so much. We've sent this to our director, and this is exactly what we want to start doing as they're leaving. And they just landed where they're at. And so I just think none of those things you can control, none of those things you can make happen. But I think if you're faithful and wanting to see disciples making disciples, God just brings the right people. And like you mentioned, truly, there's the person of peace where 30, 60, and 100 times is just multiplied in and through them. And that's why it's worth it. I was just talking with a friend today about that, how when you find those people of peace, all the training's been worth it. All the, kind of casting out your net, you know, just trying to find that one person who's just totally on fire and totally wants to use this. So worth it. Right now, we're currently working with just in our apartment complex. There's about 97% of them are from India. And that has just been a lot of fun, really new for us, as we've just tried to learn about that faith system, that culture, because it's not like anything we've experienced or gotten to work with previously. But we saw God within a couple weeks that we moved there. We were having a family over because our daughters had started to play with each other outside. And so that family came over, and we were just trying to bless them, just trying to be hospitable. And through that, the wife was having these really bad migraines, really bad headaches, and gave my wife a chance to pray for her. And a couple of days later, we were still praying for her, and we just took time to fast and pray. And we got to see her just kind of open up that same day. And she was just texting my wife and kind of breaking down how all these difficulties are happening in her life. And it was perfect timing. My wife was able to go over there at that time and share the gospel with her. And she's like, wow, that's like, this is really good. And so then they started doing kind of a small 3/3. I think just maybe one time they had just read one passage together. And then she came over about a week later, toward late at night. It was probably 10 or 11 PM. And she came in, and we sat her down and we started, you know, asking her how she's doing. And she just kind of had there's no other way to describe it, but just kind of like a demonic episode, right in front of us. And this was the first experience my wife and I had ever had with anything like this, but we began to pray with her, and just try to do what we saw Jesus do in the Bible. And as we went about it that night, you know, she started feeling some relief. She would kind of come in and out of these episodes. And then the next night she said, hey, same thing's kind of happening. Can you please pray for me? So we started praying. We did that again, the final night. And then the third night, I just totally felt God was saying, hey, just get ready. This lady is going to come into the kingdom tonight. So just be in prayer and be fasting. And so we did that. And sure enough, she came over around 9 PM. And this time we had a couple other believers with us, and we just prayed for about 3 hours with her and just explained the gospel. And she was just at the point where she felt like she was going to die. She felt like she was being strangled and like attacked at night by these demons. And so she decided to renounce her faith, her Hindu faith, and accept Jesus. So we got to baptize her that night. And it was just a really cool, amazing example of God's power just exploding, I think, in that apartment complex. And we've gotten to just see what God's up to, I think, more in that apartment complex and getting to meet people and begin inviting people into Three Thirds. And we just really believe that God is going to use that lady in a very powerful way. But, you know, sharing her testimony, sharing the gospel, and I think being for so many of her other Indian neighbors, an example of God's power in her life. Yeah, that's what's happening now. Every once in a while we get asked by some local church bodies to come in and do some training just because of the connections here in the city. You know, people kind of are starting to network more and be like, hey, who's doing what and where? And that's really cool. We love getting able to be able to train other, you know, Christians and some church bodies. But more and more, I just want to say, like, it's just Jesus who's making these things happen. And it's just been a privilege, I think, to use Zume and to think back that it was 6 years ago we were introduced to it, and now we get to introduce more people to it.
Very cool. It's coming around full circle in the things that God is doing. So you've mentioned just some incredible stories of breakthroughs and just like these high moments, you know, over the last few years and even now. What have been just some of the struggles or just the obstacles that you guys have faced and have either overcome or are just, you know, things still working through?
Yeah. Well, gosh, I think the biggest thing was when we went overseas. We were there for about 6 months and it just felt like everything was an obstacle. I mean, and I know every missionary would say that, you know, the first 6 months are super hard. But even talking with other missionaries, it just felt like it was just a lot of attacks from the enemy. And when COVID hit and our country went on lockdown and we were forced to leave, I was just like, God, you know, what was kind of the point of all this? I was pretty defeated. I had longed to do this for my entire life, and for it to just kind of come as quickly or go as quickly as it came, it was hard. And I think I struggled a lot with identity coming back and just not seeing necessarily myself as a missionary in the traditional sense, but seeing myself just as a follower of Jesus who makes disciples wherever and however God brings us along. So that was a big struggle for me personally. And then even choosing to remain in the States. I mean, we waited a year, our family did, hoping and trying to get back. And as we prayed and fasted, we really felt like God was saying for us to stay. And we didn't like that answer. So we kept praying and fasting and saying, God, change your mind. But our country never opened up in that course of a year. And so we really felt like, hey, this is what he wants for us, at least right now, to stay here. You know, as we chose to stay here, I feel like Zume was the online training is what he opened up during that time. And that's when I started hearing about how other people were doing this over Zoom. Because all the other Zume trainings we've done are just in person. And as soon as I got to hear that, I jumped in. And that's when God opened up the whole world, not just where we were at, but all these people from all over that I would have never had a chance to go or experience or be a part of what God's doing in all these different countries. But now I get that privilege. I get that blessing. So it's just been really cool to see how I think I've had some misconceptions of who I am, my identity as a follower of Jesus, but then God's really still answered the longings of my heart to make disciples overseas through Zume. And I think also it was just hard being here and trying to do discipleship like that it's hard. And I know, I mean, I'm sure you're familiar with this, or the people who are in America trying to do DMM, a lot of people just don't want it. They're pretty okay with the traditional system. I think it's in Luke 5, Jesus is talking about the new wine and the new wineskins. And he says, some people just prefer the old wine. And so I think that's been a hurdle too, is just, we're not trying to bash the old system. And I think God uses the traditional system to bring people to himself. That's the last thing I want to do is speak badly of that. And all those people, I think, have great hearts and wanting to make disciples. But as we're trying to shift into a new paradigm and start trainings locally, there's just been a lot of pushback from people who I think prefer the old model. And so that's just something we continue to deal with. And I think God's given us a lot of experience now and encouragement from that all, and not trying to change people's minds, not trying to get them to switch to our model. And we even like to tell people, you know, Zume has been incredible and I love its simplicity. I think it's one of the best training environments, and it really gives you a vision on how to make disciples, but it's not the only way. And you can go out there and there are different ways of practicing DMM, different ways of making disciples, but it's really, I think, putting your faith into action and having that heart of saying, Holy Spirit, use me. I want to be used by you for your kingdom. And I think as we've encountered people and gotten to share that, it's brought unity. But that is something we just deal with, is figuring out how do we encourage as well as not promote. I don't like that word, but just get to share and get to be a part of it, of the other paradigm of, hey, we're going to do things just differently. And it's not, we're not saying necessarily we're better or that this way is better, but we see the Lord working in it. And we want to work in a both and environment.
So as we wrap up, you've shared so many great, just like nuggets in this one episode, especially praise the Lord in the way that you and your family have been able to engage the nations back at home, you know, mm-hmm. this Indian community, even though you're not physically overseas in the present moment, the mm-hmm. way that God's brought the nations to you. So as we kind of wrap up, is there any other stories you'd like to share or any other words of wisdom?
Yeah, that's so hard. I've just been praying a lot that whatever I share would be, you know, just what God wants. And I guess a word of wisdom would be, you know, let's continue to not make this about us or make this about a certain system. I use Zume. I practice Zume. I train people in Zume. And I've gotten to see God do so much, but it'll quickly become, we'll kind of revert back to an old wineskin when we start putting more faith in the system rather than in God. So maybe that's a word of wisdom that I feel like God keeps bringing to my heart and caution as we do ministry. And then I would say, you know, continue to ask people what you can be praying for them about. I'll try to share real quick. When we have people over, whether it's for dinner, you know, having a family over, practicing hospitality with our Indian neighbors, or just family or friends, whoever, we like to always just say, hey, let's, you know, whatever's going on in your life, we'd like to pray for. And when people have given us really specific things, like we've had a sister who she wanted prayer for her husband to get a different rotation in his job. And we've had a friend who has a nanny, or another sister, sorry, who has a nanny, and she was asking that her husband would get a new job. And we've had, for us, we were trying to figure out whether or not to go spend another year in this apartment complex because our rent or our lease is coming up. And so we've been asking God really specifically, like, God, if you want us here, don't raise our rent. And so when we've gotten those chances to ask people specific prayers, I mean, I've seen God answer those so much. I can't put a number on it, but I just feel like he's so good about showing his power to people, showing his reality. And if I could encourage anyone, it would be just ask people what they really need prayer for. Because when God shows up and when he answers that prayer, those people are interested. And whether it's my Indian friends who say, we've been praying all our life and we haven't seen God answer our prayers like that. We have real quick, another story. We had just some Islamic friends who they were worried about their visa getting denied. They would have to return to their country. and they had been praying for years. And we were on a walk, and I just said, "Hey, you know, I'm going to pray in Jesus's name that you get that visa by the end of this month." And he kind of laughed, but he's like, "You know, he's grateful." And we prayed. I prayed. My wife prayed. My mom was praying. And the end of the month happened. He didn't get the visa. But about a week later, in the mail, they got their visa, and it was backdated to that final day, end of that month. And those friends were like, they're like, "We've never seen anything like that. You know, we've never seen God answer prayers like that." And those things, you can't, as human beings, we can't replicate that kind of power. And nor can people deny the reality of God when he answers those things. And so when we give God the opportunity to show his power, he draws people to himself so much better than I think we ever could. And it's been so easy then to clarify and kind of declare the gospel to people after that. And they're open and they're ready and they want to discover who he is. So it wasn't a short story, I'm sorry, but that's really something been on my heart lately.
The significance of specific prayers.
Yeah.
When we're asking people, what is something specific that we can pray for so that they can truly know that it was only God who answered it?
Yeah.
Is what I hear you saying. And then also that our faith is not in the system. You know, we're grateful for the simple tools and the system platform of Zoom-A. But it's about the biblical principles, the Holy Spirit. It's Jesus, his design. And so Zoom-A is just one platform, a way to see God's design of disciples and churches, to just help equip towards that. And so, amen, brother, in your word of conviction there is a great reminder for all of us.
Thank you, sister.
Thanks for listening. To learn more, go to www.zoom-a.vision. And to be equipped, go to www.zoom-a.training. Have questions for the podcast? You can email them to podcast@zoom-a.vision.